Eternal Father in heaven, we draw near before Thee tonight, O God, in the attitude of prayer. We come to Thee in and through the precious and powerful and prevailing name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee for the theme of this hymn of which we've been singing about tonight. The hymn writer could say, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me and that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. And Father, we thank Thee this night that we can rejoice in pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins as Thy people by the blood of Christ. Thou hast said, I, even I am He that blotteth out Thy transgressions for mine own name's sake, and will not remember Thy sins anymore. And we thank Thee, O God, tonight that Christ died for our sins. We thank Thee that He made a full and a complete atonement for sin. And Father, we thank Thee that He rose again victorious the third day, alive forevermore. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that He is seated at Thy right hand in heaven's glory. And that through Him, O God, we have access unto Thee, our Father in heaven. And we can cry unto Thee, Abba, our Father, and bring our needs and our cares before Thee tonight. We thank Thee afresh for salvation, O God, that is full and rich and free. We thank Thee, O God, that we have a great hope of life eternal. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, that we're saved as Thy people from the wrath to come. And Father, we thank Thee for grace to meet our every need day by day. And that we can rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people, that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that Thou hast assured us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And O God, our Father, as we come to Thee, in and through the precious name of Christ, we pray that Thou wilt just bless our coming together tonight, O God. We pray, Lord, for a gracious sense of the presence of God among us in this prayer meeting tonight. O Lord, it is Thy presence that makes the feast. It is Thy presence, O God, that we long for. And Lord, Thou hast promised in Thy word that if we seek Thee, and if we search for Thee with all our heart, Thou said that Thou wilt be found of us. Draw near tonight, O God, we ask. Bless our hearts around Thy precious word. Lord, do speak to us from Thy word. Give us grace to hear Thy voice. Give us grace, O God, to obey Thy voice and to live out Thy word in our lives day by day. Bless us also, Lord, in the time of prayer. We need Thy help, O God. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised the Holy Spirit to help us in our infirmity in the place of prayer. And, O God, we pray that Thou will come alongside us tonight, that Thou, Lord, will teach us to pray, burden us to pray, lay upon our hearts, you know, those petitions that Thou would have us to pray for. We thank Thee, O God, that the psalmist, O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that Thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And we thank Thee for the many times in the past that Thou hast heard our prayers, that Thou hast answered our prayers in grace and in mercy. And Father, we pray that Thou would look upon us afresh tonight, even in grace and in mercy, and that Thou would bless us around Thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God, in this meeting. Encourage and strengthen and bless Your people. Build every believer up in their most holy faith. And may we go away tonight revived, refreshed, and invigorated with the Spirit and with the power of God. Give us that fresh zeal for Thy work, Thy cause, Thy kingdom, and Thy glory. And may we go home tonight knowing it was good to be here. For here we met with Thee afresh, our God and our Savior. Remember, any who cannot be with us tonight, Lord, because of age and sickness and infirmity, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt touch them and strengthen them, we pray. Remember, Lord, others who mourn and grieve have suffered loss in recent times. Comfort their hearts. Meet the needs in those family circles. Fill the empty chair with Thy presence, O God, we pray. And even speak, Lord, through the passing of these loved ones, even unto others not saved, and that they might make preparation for the great eternity
and what lies beyond the grave, we pray. Father in heaven, bless those that would listen in tonight as well online. And Lord, we do pray that Thou would bless every other prayer meeting such as this across our land. We pray for gospel missions on at this time as well, O God. Bless every faithful endeavor in the gospel. Pour out Thy Spirit upon Thy church in these days. And Lord, grant that our land will know a visitation of God, even as in former times. We thank Thee for the meetings last Lord's Day and the challenge of Thy Word to saved and unsaved alike. And Father, we pray that that Word will live on in our hearts many days, we pray, and that it may bring forth much fruit to the glory of God in our life and in our testimony, even as a church. Be with us now, we pray, and do us good. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Close out every thought that is not of Thee. Or again, remember the children that heard Your Word tonight already in Tresnet, the children's meeting. Speak on to these young lives, we pray. And Father, we pray that each one of them will be saved by Thy grace early in life, that they will come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. Bless the meetings as they continue this week. Remember McGuire's Bridge, and here on Friday night as well. Gather the boys and girls in again to hear Your Word, and that early in life these children will be saved, grow up to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to live for the Lord. Remember also there are Thy servants and their outreach and the Shankill Road and preparation for the mission. Go with them and go before them day by day. And Lord, may they be led of God to hearts that are prepared of God. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless that mission when it commences. Bring many people in under the sound of Thy Word. We think of many people in that area that might be loyal to a name. But, oh God, we pray that they might realize their need to be loyal to Christ, and that there might be those that will come to hear the Word of God, and that they will look away from self and from sin, and that they will look to Christ for salvation. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, abide with us now, we pray. Lead and guide and direct by Thy Holy Spirit in the remaining part of this meeting, and have Thy way in every heart and life. We ask these things for Thy name's sake, O God, and for the glory of our Savior. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to Colossians chapter number 2, to the book of Colossians chapter number 2. I want to read from verse 16 of that chapter, going down just to verse 4 of chapter 3. So we're reading tonight from Colossians chapter 2 and the verse 16, going down to the end of verse 4. Of chapter 3. And while you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all gathered with us here this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you afresh tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, followed by the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. And then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7, both services preceded by the half of prayer. We belong to bring God's Word. And then remember, immediately after the morning meeting is the Lord's table. Be much in prayer for that, as we would remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way, that the Lord will draw near and grant us a season of reviving and refreshing around the table of the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and the verse number 16. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this evening. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and hands, bands, having nourishment, administered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using,
after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 4. And our prayer is the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his precious and holy word to our hearts. The text of Scripture I want us just to consider this evening is really that opening statement there of verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Now, in the latter part of chapter 2 of this book, Paul there warns the Colossian Christians about certain religious practices which would lead the people away from Christ. In verse 16 of that chapter, you'll see there how he warns against legalism. What is legalism? Well, legalism really is a false way of salvation by man. If you like, salvation by works and rites and ceremonies of men and of religion, and that is very much the case in the false religion of Roman Catholicism. And in verse 16 he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Then when we come to verse 18 of the chapter, he warns there against mysticism. What is mysticism? Well, mysticism is really a person depending on the philosophies of men for a supposed greater knowledge and a greater awareness of God. And you see that in the cults of today, in the New Age movement, and particularly in the Eastern religions that are to the fore, like Hinduism and Buddhism, etc. Verse 18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then when we come to verse 20 and verse 21, he warns there against asceticism. And what is that? Well, that's really a supposedly gaining, if you like, merit with God by suffering, or if you like, by isolation. And again, you see that very much, that practice very much to the fore in Roman Catholicism, when you think of people who fast, who engage in penance, who take a vow of celibacy, who engage in pilgrimages, all with the supposed gain of merit with God. And it says there in verse 20 and 21, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, and handle not? Then following on from these warnings, we see in the beginning of chapter 3 how Paul goes on to speak about what the ambition of the Christians in the Colossian church should be. And we see that ambition really summed up in the words of our text this morning or this evening in verse 1, where it says, seek those things which are above. And with these words, he was exhorting these Christians to have their ambitions fixed upon heaven, fixed upon the things of God. Yes, that their aim in life was to be an aim that was different from the ungodly and the unconverted. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight in our meeting, can I say the same ambition, it applies to you and I as well. Yes, the whole goal, the whole purpose of our life as Christians should be heaven, the things of God, the things of Christ. Indeed, as Paul himself said in his letter to the Philippians, to me to live is Christ. And that should be our aim, our goal, our ambition in life as Christians. As we think then upon the Christian's ambition of seeking those things which are above, there are a number of thoughts I just want to leave with you briefly tonight. Notice first of all here the command regarding this ambition. Verse 1 says, seek those things which are above. Those words are a command to all God's people. Notice that word seek. That word seek is a verb. It's a doing word. And my, this is something that you and I are to do as Christians along life's journey. It says, seek those things which are above. And my, the thought behind these words is not just a seeking to discover, but rather it's a seeking to obtain. And you have that same thought back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33, when Christ there spoke to the disciples and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There the Lord was commanding his disciples to seek God's kingdom and to seek the blessings of God's kingdom for their own lives as believers. And my, that same thought is what is implied in our text this evening where it says, seek those things which are above. Yes, as God's redeemed people, as those who are saved in this meeting tonight by the grace of God, yes, you and I are to seek after certain things for our Christian life here on earth, here in this scene of time. We might ask, well, what are those things? Well, our text says, seek those things which are above. And those things which are above are those spiritual marks and values that are found in Christ, that pertain to Christ himself. Yes, he is to be our example as believers. He is to be our pattern as believers in all things. If we study the life of Christ, what do we see? Well, Christ's life was marked by tenderheartedness. His life was marked by kindness, by faithfulness to God as Heavenly Father and to his word. His life was marked by holiness, by mercy, by lowliness, by meekness, by long-suffering, by patience, by a forgiving spirit. And above all, his life was marked by love. You turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and to the verse number 29. Here we have Christ speaking, and here we see a picture really of his life on earth. It was a perfect life. He says in verse 29 of John chapter 8, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That was the mark of his life, doing those things which please his Heavenly Father. John chapter 8, verse 29, doing those things which please God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, that's what it means for you and I to seek those things which are above. Yes, as believers, we were to follow after the things of Christ. This is to be our pattern, our goal, our aim in life. And as believers, these are the things that we are to seek after in our own hearts and lives as God's people. And notice how Paul brings this thought out further on down our chapter tonight in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Speaking again to these Christians, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And child of God, that's the example that you and I are to follow in life as God's people. As it says in Philippians 2, verse 5, we are to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And brethren and sisters in Christ, these are the graces that the Lord can bestow upon our lives when we humbly seek after them in prayer as God's people. The Lord says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And people, yes, Christ can give us more and more of these graces and never be at a loss to himself. For Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. Look at verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 9. It speaks of Christ there and says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And my, there's no lack with Christ. He gives grace upon grace upon grace to his people, to his church.
And also we are assured that Christ himself has the right and the authority and indeed the power to give us these gifts. For notice what Paul says about Christ at the end of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, seated in the place of authority and power as our great high priest, willing and able to bestow grace upon grace upon grace upon his people. Yes, the command here says to seek after those things which are above. But notice secondly tonight, notice the reason for this ambition. What is the reason behind this ambition? Well, we can say the reason for God's people having this ambition is because of God's purpose for their life. Look again at the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 3 there. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. You see, by faith in Christ, these Colossian believers, they were raised to newness of spiritual life. But by the blood of Christ, their sins were forgiven. We see that in chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Yes, their life was now changed by the grace and by the power of God. And again, you see that in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Their life was made anew. Their sins were forgiven. Their life was changed. They were delivered from the change and the bondage of the powers of darkness. Now that they were saved, their life had a new direction. There was a new purpose in their life. Therefore, instead of living for self and living for sin, they were now to seek after those things which are above. And child of God, yes, by faith in Christ for salvation, you and I also, we are risen, the Bible says, to new life in Christ. The Bible says, you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins. We have been quickened to new life in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. And from the day that we are saved, our life has taken on a new direction, a whole new purpose, a whole new dimension. What is that purpose? It is that of seeking to live for God, to live for his glory. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Also, that purpose is one of seeking to serve Christ and to be a witness for him, and even to point souls to Christ. The Lord says to his people, to you and I who are saved, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's to be our purpose in life as believers, living for God's glory, serving the Lord, seeking to point others to Christ, to win others to Christ. And if that purpose is to be fulfilled in our lives, then we must not live for self or sin. But rather, as it says in our text tonight, we must seek those things which are above. We must seek to live for God's honor, God's glory. Another reason as well for this ambition is because of our citizenship. Now that we're saved, where do we belong to now that we're saved? Well, look at verse 4 of the chapter. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Notice it. In glory. That speaks of heaven. And people of God, that's our home. That's our citizenship. It is heaven. It is not this earth. It's not this world. It's not the scene of time. No, we are now pilgrims, sojourners, traveling to heaven, traveling to glory. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, our conversation is in heaven. Therefore, in order to show that we belong to heaven, belong to glory, we are to seek those things which are above. We are to seek after the things of God, the things of Christ, the things that belong to the kingdom of God. Yes, we see the reason for this ambition, the command for this ambition. But notice one final thought tonight. Notice the manner in which we are to pursue this ambition. Look at verse number 2 there of Colossians chapter 3. It says, set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. Note that word affection. If the Colossian Christians were to seek after those things which are above, then their affection needed to be set on heavenly things as opposed to the things of this earth. That word affection there really concerns the love of our hearts, our mind, our will. Well, as Christians, we are to only seek after those things which are above. And if that is to be so, then we must set our affection, our heart's affection, our minds, our wills, our love, so to speak, is to be fixed not on the things of this earth, but is to be fixed on the things of God, the things of heaven, the things that pertain to the Lord and the Lord's cause and kingdom. And if that is to be so, therefore, on a daily basis as Christians, we need to be praying. Praying, yes, that God would help us turn our back upon the ungodly world and not be ensnared by it. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not on him. Rather, we are to set our affection on things above. And if that is to be so, then we need to pray that the Lord would keep our hearts united to Christ and indeed fixed upon Christ, fixed upon the things of God. Turn with me back to Psalm number 86. And you see how this was the prayer of the psalmist David. Psalm 86 and the verse number 11. It says there, he's praying to the Lord. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. David's prayer was that his heart would be united to the Lord, that nothing would come between him and the Lord. Again, in another psalm, he could say, oh God, my heart is fixed. That's like a compass pointing to the north. David's heart was fixed upon God. He was a man after God's own heart. And by the affection of his heart was upon the Lord and the things of God. And my of our heart's affection is to be upon the Lord and the things of God, the things of heaven. Yes, we need to pray that God would help us day by day turn our back upon the world and to be weaned more and more away from the world. We need to pray, yes, the Lord would give us a united heart, a heart that is united after Christ and the things of God. And also we need to pray that God would enable us to set our heart's affection on things that are good and right and pleasing in the sight of God. Turn back there to Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 8, look at what it says. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that our hearts and our minds and our affections are to be focused upon. Indeed, those are things that we all see perfectly displayed in Christ himself. Ideally, we need to pray that the Lord would keep our hearts and minds fixed upon the Lord. It says in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. My of our heart's affection is to be fixed upon the Lord. We need to pray for grace to turn away from the ways of this ungodly world. Pray for a heart united to the Lord, a heart that is fixed upon those things that are good and right in the sight of the Lord. And then we need to pray that God would help us daily as Christians to walk and to live in the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 8, verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How we need to pray day by day that God would enable us as Christians, as his people, to walk in the Spirit. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is how we are to set our affection on things above. Indeed, this is how we are to pursue this heavenly ambition of seeking those things which are above. Brethren and sisters in Christ, by God's grace, by God's mercy, may this be our testimony day by day. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Pray that God would take our affections off the things of time and sense, and fix them upon the Lord and the things of heaven, the things of God, the things of the kingdom of God. We'll just turn again, please, in our hymn book before we get down to prayer, to the hymn number 500 in your hymn book, the hymn number 500 in the page 377. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. The hymn number 500 will stand as we sing. Let us sing it out heartily unto the Lord, indeed making this hymn the prayer even of our hearts tonight. Hymn number 500 will stand as we sing. Just get down to our time of prayer. Just want to leave a few prayer requests with you. Remember, please, the services over the weekend. Pray for God's blessing upon them. I pray the Lord will draw in new families from around the area. Something to pray for. Pray for continually. Pray the Lord would bring in young families as well, and the Lord would bring in the unsaved from around the community. Let us pray to that end. Remember the children's meetings on this week. Pray for them tonight, Tresna. Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge, and then Friday night here. Be much in prayer for the meetings as they continue over the next few weeks. Do also please remember the convention, another month or two that will be upon us. Let us be much in prayer for that and for those who will come to preach. It will be a time of reviving and refreshing. And then, of course, do remember the mission
later on in the year. How important it is that we bring that before the Lord. Remember the sick and the sorrowing also in your prayers. Those connected with us have suffered loss in recent times. Remember Colin and Noel as well up in the mission in the Shankill Road. They're doing a visitation this week. Pray for that as it commences this Lord's Day coming. Remember college students as well doing exams at this time, and our missionaries as well. Maybe you can remember our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, especially, who was with us here on Lord's Day evening last. But we don't want to tie you to these things, but these are just some pointers. And encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, young and old alike, and let there be no gaps. Let us pray one with another, and when that gap comes, you stand in the gap and pray and seek the Lord, and the Lord will bless you and make you a blessing. Maybe ask our brother Stanley to lead us off in prayer, and then maybe also our brother Matt, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Our brother Stanley, and then Matt, and then one after the other, right through to about 20 past 9 or so. Thank you.